All right, guys. Welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and on the phone, of course, is John Barbin. And today, we're going to expand upon something that we talked about a few days ago, and that's the fact of kind of the big secret that really nobody's telling you about in the realm of health and fitness and getting the body you want. So, John, we were talking about this just a little bit of ago. Let's kind of dive into this and really kind of expose the one thing that nobody really tells you, but is the actual reality of your situation right now.
Yes, what we were saying is this is difficult. It's hard. It actually takes effort. And most people don't want to put the effort in. So it's not complicated. It just takes a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. So people get caught up reading about how complicated it is. And, you know, that feeds into their dissonance of why they're not getting there because – you know, they just don't have enough information yet, or they don't know how to train properly, or, you know, it's too complex for them to figure out. It's too cumbersome to fit into their lives. Like, you know, any number of excuses why it's not working for them. And so the whole industry of consuming information around health and fitness seems to go the opposite direction of helping anybody, but it just gives them more and more excuses as to why they're not getting there. And mm-hmm. You know, if I read 10 different diet books with 10 different messages, that, I mean, anybody would think that's pretty rational for me to say, this is just too complicated. How could I possibly know how to do this? Mm-hmm. So, and then same thing, if there's 5 or 6 different workouts I've bought into the concept and they all sound very compelling, well, how do I even know where to start? Like, it's total analysis paralysis, where the amount of action I can take is inversely proportional to the amount of information I consume. So the mm-hmm. more I learn, the harder it is for me to even take the first step because not true learning, but the more I read and the more marketing I consume, the worse it gets. If you actually do true learning and have true understanding, you can remove a lot of those barriers and just get to work. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do is just to show people how to – I mean, we never try to actually throw rules and stuff at people. What we're trying to do is show people how to think for themselves so they can actually get something done. So we're trying to not do the analysis paralysis thing, but we're trying to like get rid of analysis paralysis and get people kind of to take action. And and we'll just come right out and say it. It's not easy. I mean, mm-hmm. you just said it. If it was easy, everyone would have a six pack. Everyone would be ripped. Everyone would have a golden ratio. Everyone would be perfectly smooth in social situations. Everyone would just say the right thing at the right time. Everyone would do everything just right if it was that easy. But it isn't. It takes effort and work. It's not complicated, but it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, and it's two totally different things when it comes to diet and fitness. I mean, we've said it before, talking about just losing weight in general is hard, and it's because it's always around. I think you said it best. I mean, it's like being a crackhead, a recovering crackhead, and somebody telling you that you have to go in the crackhead alley, but you can't think about smoking crack. You have to put it out of your mind. You can't think about smoking crack, even though crack is all around you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, it's not a passive thing. It's a very active, step that you have to take. Same thing with muscle building. I mean, you can't walk into the gym and think that just by touching the weight, your muscles are going to increase by osmosis. You know, it just doesn't happen. Just by being there, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have to push.
Really hard. You have to push really hard.
Yeah, and all of this stuff is out of your comfort zone. Every way around, I can tell you, it sucks. I have not seen, even the guys that I know that compete, and even if they're on, copious amounts of drugs, it's hard for them too.
I mean, everybody I know who's ever dieted down for even like national level pro people, they don't find dieting fun. They get there and they're the ones who are on the covers of the magazines. They do get paid to be in photo shoots. It doesn't mean they 100% enjoyed the trip. They just know what it takes. And so they just do it. Mm-hmm. And that's all there is to it. I mean, it does get easier each time. And the fear is gone. The expectations are more realistic at, like after once or twice. kind of the worry and anticipation of what may happen isn't as heightened anymore. It's kind of like the first time someone fasts, they have all, their mind plays all kinds of psychological tricks on them, and then months later, it's like you'll knock out a fast and you won't even notice it.
Sure.
But it, so it's physiologically, your body can handle way more stuff than you're, than you think it can. So the first time you try something new, any kind of stress or trauma from trying it is almost 100% in your mind. It has nothing to do with, like, nothing actually went wrong with your body. It's just your anticipation of it was really heightened. It's like you can worry your way into, like, fainting or passing out. Like, you you can actually get too psyched up for something. You can get too worked up over all kinds of things. And that doesn't mean your body physically can't handle it. It means you psychologically weren't ready for it. So same thing with dieting down to get rid of fat or building muscle. Both things require a state of mind. So we focus more on that side of things, because to us, that's just what I think is the most important thing that people are missing. Any workout can work if you push hard enough. I mean, unless it's just miserably put together. But most people who put together workouts have at least some idea of why they're putting it together. And then if you push really hard, like if you can get over that barrier of how hard you really have to push, then you'll squeeze whatever gains that design of a workout could have given you. You'll be able to squeeze it out of it. But if you go through and sort of half-ass it, you're not really ever going to get where you need to go. It's interesting. The other day, me and Pilon met up with a buddy, who we have a digital relationship via like blogs and Skype conversations, but we'd never met in person. So we finally met up, and he was very curious to see how much bigger or not bigger we were than he was versus like muscle size and whatnot. And then afterwards we were kind of joking around. He's like, man, that he kind of realized he has, in his words, a long way to go to catch up, to the size that Pilon and I had. And I don't really think we're that big, but just compared to him, he was like, well, we talk about it and it sounds like we're on the same playing field. But then when you meet the person like face to face, you're like, oh yeah, you've got a ways to go. And I think part of it's just learning to push in the gym. Like, you know, I can go, you know, you can say you've gone and done 10 reps of squatting, and I can say so did I. But that doesn't tell us at all how intense those 10 reps were, how hard we pushed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big difference between how the workout looks on the page and how hard you actually pushed. And I think people don't know how hard they're supposed to push. Same with dieting. Like you can understand the idea of eating less calories. But did you actually do it? Did you stick with it? Did you cheat? How bad did you cheat? Like, did you – it's the nuts and bolts of it really just aren't that hard. You just have to, like, see it through to its completion.
Yeah, it's funny. Speaking of both dieting and muscle building, just kind of across the board, you know, we have a lot of guys in the forums, and we talk to people on a consistent basis. I guess that's kind of one of the things that – you know, a lot of people really don't do, but we have kind of first-hand knowledge of what people are going through, and it's odd because it always seems like people are trying to toe the line and just do just enough to get results instead of really just crossing that threshold and going balls to the wall for what they want. You know, that's the same thing with muscle building too. It's like people are, instead of just saying, all right, this set is going to be, you know, balls out. You know, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to use the weights I'm supposed to use. I'm not going to, you know, kind of crap out like I do most of the time. I mean, it's basically there's a goal behind this, and this is it. You know, like when we're talking about dropping pounds and stuff, I mean, most of the guys that we're seeing, you know, are going really low as far as calories. They're like, you know what, we're just not going to mess around anymore. It's time to, you know, I guess that's the whole thing is it's time to quit, you know, kind of toe in the water and just jump in and go for it, I guess. That's kind of where what happened to me. It's happened to a bunch of guys, especially kind of, you know, in the forums and just kind of talking guys that had a lot of kind of dissonance and a lot of just kind of skepticism about it. Most of them just kind of got to a point where they said, you know what, man, forget it. I'm in. I'm just going to do it and I'm going to see what happens, but I'm going to go full force, and they come out killing it.
Yeah, and then you can see them pointing that out to all of the newer guys who are sort of on the fence, and all the newer guys, some of, well, not all, some of the newer guys, will be mentioning about when they potentially want to try and start, or they're interested in the next contest, or they're thinking about it. And then all the guys who've been through it, first thing they say is, don't think, just do it. And there is no, like, maybes. You just do it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Nike hit it with their slogan. Just do it is it. Like, that. Yeah. That's 90% of the battle, is doing it. And then after that, if you're, you know, following the workout that gets you, you know, like what we try to do, I can never make you do that. I can't make you go to the gym. I can't make you stick to a diet. I can give you what I think is the most intelligent workout to follow that'll when you decide to just do it, I would hope that you'd be following our workout, because the way I put it together should get you the result you're after faster than any other workout. So from that standpoint, once you've decided to do it, I've got the workout that I think will get you there even quicker. But I can't make you do it. I can't make you diet. I can't make you go to the gym. And even if you go to the gym, I can't, unless I'm training with you, I can't actually make you push as hard as you need to push. Like, I can barely make my training partners do it. I mean, partners help, but it's, you know, if you don't have some intrinsic motivation, like, this will just always be a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, basically that's kind of why we were transitioning away from, you know, actually providing, you know, free customer service and answering a lot of, you know, free questions and stuff, because, you know, there has to be a way for somebody to step up to the plate and say, yes, I'm ready. And the only way people can do that is to actually, you know, financially contribute. You know, we don't know you. We can't see you. You know, we can't, you know, make sure that you're actually doing something, you know, and making us feel like we're not wasting our breath. So at least if you kick in, you know, that's why we're focusing more on our customer community now. I mean, almost solely. You know, that's where you're going to see us transition, because these are the people that have, you know, taken a step, the first step, which is, you know, all right, I'm ready to make a move. And then that's where we get the biggest leverage. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting the way this whole thing is kind of, you know, really rounded out across the board. But, you know, this is what we're finding. We're most effective when we actually basically focus our contact into people that have kind of raised their hand and said, all right, I'm ready to go. I'll do what you tell me to do. And then we put attention to those people and they take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I mean, and all it is an opportunity cost. If for every minute we spend talking to someone who we don't realize it, but on their end, they're just never going to do anything with the information. We're wasting that time and effort away from somebody else who's actually going to do something with it. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to find a way to focus that. It's kind of like the teacher who's teaching 35 students and 20 of them don't care, but 15 of them care. It's you basically just teach the 15. Like, I can't – that's the way I was like at Florida. I couldn't force the students who were sort of tuned out to tune in. And I don't care. Maybe I'm a lousy teacher that way, but to me, if they don't want to be there, then they should go – there's clearly somewhere they want to be, where they would be the most attentive and where they would be like the number one student or the number one go-getter. They should just go there. I think a lot of people have just misallocated where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they're dabbling in something that just really not for them, or they're only half on board. So like, they like the idea of maybe improving their body, but it's not as important to them as something else that's consuming them more. So just go be good at whatever it is that you're going to put more attention into. And if getting in shape's really, you know, if it's years and years and you're the person who's like, you know, this year's the year and it never happens, maybe there's something else you should be doing. Like, maybe there's something else that you'll actually be really good at that you should go do that first. And
right.
maybe that rounds out your sort of mental approach, and maybe one day you can come back. But if all you're doing is hunting around or reading endless amounts of fitness information but not actually doing anything about it, maybe you got to check your head and decide, like, either I do this or maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, it's kind of the focus we talked about before, focusing on kind of information, you know, at your fingertips whenever you want it, versus learning, you know, on demand. And so basically it's learning just in case and learning on demand. A lot of people are learning just in case, or what they think is learning. Of course, you know, if you talk to different people, the experts on the subject, they talk about learning being equated to behavior change. So if your behavior doesn't change, then you really didn't learn anything, which is funny because, you know, like if somebody makes a mistake and like they burn their finger and say, well, didn't you learn your lesson last time? Well, no, if they did it again, they didn't learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the same thing. A lot of people are in the whole, I need to learn this just in case. I do it all the time in business and stuff like that. I'll see an interesting thing come across and I'll say, you know what? Let me look into this because maybe this will help us at some time in the future, just in case. But in reality, that's taking away focus from stuff that I could be learning about that we have problems and issues with right now. Because we have, I mean, we're a business. We have things that we have problems and issues right now. And so that's where my time needs to be. Same thing with you. If you're implementing and doing things in your diet and fitness, and this is life. I mean, this is not just related to this. I mean, it kind of runs across the gamut. From what I can see, most people that can get their diet and fitness lives together also get the rest of their lives together and vice versa. So that advice John was talking about go ahead and do something that you're going to do. Well, once you kind of get that together, it kind of translates across your whole life and you start getting other things together. So that makes total sense. But you have to get out of the whole, you know, trying to learn just in case, because you never do anything. Just in case is always around. It's like the ultimate, kind of, it's not even abundant. It's like the ultimate fear thing that, oh God, if I don't figure this out, something might happen to me down the road. And all this time, you're not doing anything. You're just sitting there floating around in just in case land, where the answer and the answers that you need will be readily apparent. It will be readily apparent what you need to find out once you start implementing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without implementing, you're not even asking the right questions. That's a huge problem. People just ask the wrong questions like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the blog and the forums. Well, the forums guys are learning, but the newbies and people on the blogs and some new contacts and emails, I get questions. I'm like, wow. Like what the question shows me how far off your focus is. Mm-hmm. And how far away from what you need to be doing. You're thinking completely in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So but that shows also, that also shows me they haven't been doing anything, or at least enough of anything, to get that's a useless question.
Right.
So it's like you just said, it's, you know, if you haven't been to the gym and haven't tried, a heavy squat workout, for instance, like arguing over, you know, the type of shoes you're wearing, or, you know, what squat rack's the best squat rack, like, you know, none of that matters. Have you even squatted before? Like, what are you doing? So it's not realizing what the right question is.
Right. You know, most people ask questions that have nothing to do with fundamentals. And so they never get good at the fundamentals of what's really required to get a result. You know, most of the questions that get asked are what I would call the cream of the crop questions, or extreme questions, are these questions that, you know, once you get to a certain point, these are the things that you would need to do to eke out more. These aren't the big drivers that happen. Like we talk about a lot when we talk about people getting in contest shape and water manipulation and stuff like that. I mean, if you're not like 6% body fat or whatever,
it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, at that point, it doesn't even matter what you're doing. I mean, you know, that basically kind of it. But everybody focuses on it just because the extreme guys, that's what their focus is.
And if they're writing articles about it and talking about it, they're already assuming there's no body fat left. They've already done all the heavy lifting and all the hard work to get rid of the body fat. Now they're just messing around at the very end to see if they can finish first or not. But they're not talking about dropping water if you still have 30 pounds of fat to drop too.
Right.
They're just, you know, those tweaks and nuances, like, you know, varying your hand position on an exercise or slight variations in your body positioning on different exercises. That stuff's assuming you already know how to push. You already have intensity handled. You're consistently going to the gym. Like all of those things are in place. And now you're like, hey, you know what? I tried that new hand position. It made a little difference. But that has nothing to do with, like, you have to have all the fundamentals in place and you have to be moving along before you start messing around with little things like that.
Sure. Yeah, I was reading something the other day where the guy said that – I forget what book it was. I read a lot of books. But the guy was saying that he was talking to a
well-known college basketball coach and saying, you know, give me a tip. What's the best basketball tip you can give me? You know, what's the best you got? And he said, he took the ball, he went and stood under the basket, he shot a layup, and he threw it back at the guy and defiantly said, make that shot. He goes, 99% of all games are won or lost on that shot alone, so don't ever miss that shot.
Yeah, exactly. Fundamental, make a layup. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's funny because everybody's
trying. Yeah, like Orlando lost one of those games because Vince Carter missed two free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Simple. There's not, I mean, a free throw, correct? Nobody's even, like, defending you. All you got to do is stand there and throw it.
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit harder than that. But still, you know, the funny part about it is, again, it's the fundamentals of anything are what really are going to determine your success. It's never the trick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like in football. If you can just run the ball and play defense, you don't need to be able to run a double reverse or a halfback option or any of that stuff. It's just the team that's consistent with the fundamentals wins all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should be able to – it's like the – I've always had coaches, and you see this all the time, talk about, you know, we should be able to telegraph every play we do because it's not what you know, it's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not what you – and so even in this, it's not what you know. I don't care if you know more than I do about – you know, what hormones work with this and how this works, but bet you I can drop fat faster than you can. Bet you I can get bigger than you can.
Yeah,
because I'm doing it.
Yeah, reading about it doesn't get you any further ahead than anybody else.
Right. People are trying to make this rocket science, and it's not.
Yeah, but they're not doing it because of anyone's benefit. They're doing it to sell products that sound complex.
Sure.
Yeah. And yeah, supplement industry does it too. They come up with the most ridiculous scientific sounding pathway manipulation stuff. And it just sounds interesting. Like you can get caught up in that marketing pretty easily. Like it's kind of fun to read a little bit, I guess. And, it's almost like fantasy land. It's like going to see Iron Man and imagining, I wonder if that suit is actually possible. Like when you stop and actually think about it, it's a completely impossible for that thing to ever exist. But for a second, you get caught up and you're like, oh man, that would be cool. Like to be able to just put on a suit of armor and be able to fly around and stuff like that. But then when you just stop for a second and think, you're like, oh yeah, but it would get so hot on the inside, you'd basically melt. And then to air condition it, you'd need an air conditioning, just conditioner the size of a house air conditioner. Like, you know, where would the fuel be stored? You'd need a gas tank the size of a car attached to it. Like none of it is actually possible. But just stopping and looking for a sec, you can get caught up. I kind of view supplements the same way. It's like, yeah, imagine if just taking branched chain amino acids and a, you know, some pre-workout thing and a testosterone booster. Yeah, that's like, that really sounds like, that's cool. I'm going to be like a supercharged superhero thing. And then you're like, yeah, but wait, branched chains have like scientifically never been shown to do anything. And, you know, testosterone boosting supplements, if they actually boost the testosterone to the degree of a real steroid, then they would be classified as steroids. And then, you know, how could a pre-workout supplement actually do everything that it says it would do? And once you stop just for a second and throw some logic at it, you're like, oh yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, most of that stuff makes total sense. If you, all you have to ask is why would there be a supplement black market of supplement or not supplements of steroids if all this stuff did what it was supposed to do? Why would that exist?
Yeah, exactly. If supplements worked as well as everyone said they did, who the hell would choose to buy a drug when they could just buy a supplement? Like, that's just ridiculous. And I mean, there's a couple that are useful. Like I said, creatine and protein, like people just to get to their protein content, a lot of people might even need a shake, but that's just protein. There's nothing to that. And then creatine, I mean, that one actually has science behind it. So, okay. So then after that, then it becomes the murky waters of all the flashy claims and the sort of, you know, outrageous new metabolic pathways that have like never been discovered before, and all of this kind of stuff.
So, yeah, and the percentages.
Oh
the
yeah,
percentages
ridiculous.
Really misleading.
You know, 1500% gain in strength, and you know, 1800. Some of the claims are like up in the 2000s. It's just none of it makes any sense.
Sure, and that's the part that's interesting: the percentages versus the absolute value of what happens.
Oh, they could be measuring something that's like it's 1 gram versus 2 grams change. So it's,
right.
You know, and that's 100% change. So it's, the percentage is never, a percentage claim should always be leery of a percentage claim because they're hiding the true values.
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting. Kind of like talking about the people gaining fat or gaining lean mass and losing fat at the same time. basically they'll put it out there as this person gained 20% lean mass and their body fat percentage went down by 5%. But what they didn't tell you was they drank a lot of water, so their lean mass went up, but because their whole mass went up and their fat mass didn't change, by default, their body fat percentage went down. So nothing really happened.
But you can get caught up in the claim.
Yeah, but the claim is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, well, yeah,
and that kind of claim would be, if you did that in a research paper, that would be defensible in a court of law for a product.
Sure.
So I guess what we're doing is we're just getting back to the story that you can get caught up reading and thinking about and opining about stuff that just doesn't matter, and all of that can slowly grind you to a halt as far as actually getting real progress done, like real stuff done.
Right. Yeah, because how do you want to spend your day? You know, I would estimate the majority of people that are really interested in health and fitness probably spend anywhere between 1 and 4 hours a day just looking and quote-unquote researching different health and fitness information as a hobby, because that's all it really is some sort of hobby, because it's not being applied to their life.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing to be someone who's a hobbyist about it and reads about it but can't do it.
Sure.
And you know what? It's actually, by definition, if you are one of these hobbyists, you are going to be it's going to be difficult for you to do it, because you're probably reading a bunch of nonsensical marketing garbage that, like, can't actually be – it's pointless. It's like all – it's research tidbits taken out of context that could never actually be implemented. And as the hobbyist reader, you're reading this stuff that you have no – like, but the problem is you don't know that the stuff that you're reading – is just meant to capture your attention and buy a product. You actually think some of it has some merit, so you may actually take action on it and not realize why your life's becoming more difficult, more stressful, more cumbersome, but nothing's really changing. So then it becomes kind of embarrassing when the next person over in the gym is in better shape than you and isn't a hobbyist, doesn't spend any time reading. They just do. They just do the fundamentals, like, better than you do. And, you know, they're in just as good a shape, if not better shape. And you're like, well, wait a minute. That person doesn't know anything about all the stuff I know. They don't do all the reading I do, but they're in better shape than me. How's that possible? So it's kind of like someone who identifies themselves as a powerlifter and I don't, but I'm stronger than them. Like, right. That's embarrassing for them.
Sure.
Yeah. Same thing with the hobbyist reader in health and fitness. If you're the person known for, like, consuming health and fitness information, but you're not in any better shape than anybody else, or there's other people who are in significantly better shape than you and don't consume any of that info, like, that just kind of makes you look silly.
Right. Being right. Here's one thing. Like, being right, or the attempt to be right, because I see this a lot. I talked about this when I was at a seminar one time. A guy walks up to the stage to ask a question. And he asks the guy a question, and the guy gives his feedback on his question. And then the guy goes and starts to defend why he was doing what he was doing. And the guy looked at him straight face and was like, well, dude, if what you're doing was getting you the results that you thought it was getting you, why in the hell did you even come up here to ask the question?
Yeah, I think people need to validate their existence. They need to validate why they're doing things. Like, certain people aren't ready to be a student. Like, certain people aren't ready to actually take advice yet. They're still too arrogant to, like, defer to somebody. So it takes a certain amount of time for people to kind of let go of that.
It's an insecurity for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, I'm not speaking out of, you know, not just trying to be I'm holier than thou. I've been there. I've been the same thing where I was defending everything and trying to quote things and being like such and such says, and I was getting nowhere. And this is in a bunch of areas of my life where I was just getting nowhere, but I was telling myself I was getting somewhere because I was learning stuff. But in essence, I wasn't really learning anything because I wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So basically all I was doing was filling my head with a bunch of stuff that wasn't helping me at all get me to where I wanted to be. And I'm not the only person that's been there. You know, lots of people were there. You know, in this regard, a lot of times being smart isn't necessarily a good thing, you know, because you tend to overthink things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's just the effort. You just got to put some effort in. That's all it really most of it takes. And then a little bit of, like I said, exercise design helps, because if you can channel your effort better, that helps. It's just you got to be aware that a lot of marketing isn't. It sounds like that's what they're doing for you, but it really isn't. It's scare tactic. It's, you know, be scared of this food, be scared of doing this, and do this instead. And it doesn't really help you channel your effort. If anything, it just sucks the effort out of you or sucks the life right out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it leaves you in just scared all the time. Like living life scared.
Well, you know, fear-based marketing is a huge – I mean, that's one of the major – pillars of marketing is fear-based, like scaring people out of one thing into another. People will take more action based out of fear than they will out of drive or inspiration. So if you can scare somebody to motivate them, that's a simpler marketing approach than trying to impress upon them of a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like here's where your life leads if you don't make this change.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you show a picture of a dead cat that got run over or something. this is you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You end up being roadkill if you don't take my supplement. Or if you don't lose fat this particular way, then this is what your insides are gonna look like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's the whole starvation moment and that you'll break your metabolism and that you're going to actually become sick or damaged or something like that. Like none of that'll happen. You just won't get the result you want, or at least not at the speed that you'd like to have it happen at.
Yeah. Which is really funny, speaking about breaking your metabolism, because the funny thing is that all the anti-aging research that you guys have been talking about, having a slower metabolism...
You'll live longer,
yeah.
The fitness industry's got it 100% backwards. You can't fix more with more, so you can't do more... You can't eat more healthy food and do more exercise to burn fat. It's less. It's just less food in general. And then... intermittently fasting might actually even be the best way to arrive at it. So in all of the anti-aging research, and when we were at the conference just recently, the number one thing for longevity was to eat less. That's it. And that was translated to a slightly lower metabolism because you're just a smaller person. And that's it. That's the only way to – that was the only thing that like lifestyle related that had anything to do with longevity. And then by definition, longevity is health. Because if you can make it to 100 and 110 and past, that means you only make it that far if you've been healthy. Like you right. can't make it that far with various chronic diseases.
So having a lower metabolism is actually healthy.
It's probably the thing that'll get you there. As far as overall health, longevity, and like sustainability, you don't want to speed things up. You want to kind of balance them, slow them down a bit.
Right. So if the definition of being healthy is that basically putting yourself in the position to live the longest life possible, then having a high metabolism is counterproductive to being healthy based on that.
Yep. Yep. Now that doesn't mean you can't exercise and do things like raise your metabolism intermittently, of course. It means on a whole, the goal is not a permanently elevated metabolism. A permanently elevated metabolism is a serious disease state. Like you don't want that. You're in big trouble if your metabolism is constantly elevated.
Right. That's really weird because we're saying the exact opposite of what everybody else is saying.
Yeah, but I mean the quote everybody else are a bunch of uneducated fitness marketers.
So you go talk
to anti-aging researchers or you go talk to academics in the field, they'll be like, yeah, of course. Well, why would you want an elevated metabolism? But, you know, they would immediately identify that as like some kind of disease state or, you know, hyperthyroidism or like those things don't end pretty. Like serious fevers and things like that, those are all states of elevated metabolism. Or like recovery from serious trauma when metabolism is elevated. Like none of that is a good thing.
Hmm.
So it's just – Yeah, it's just it's people with limited understanding of metabolism marketing and preaching to other people with even less understanding of metabolism. It's like the blind leading the blind the whole way.
Right.
And I mean, we were part of it back in the day in Muscle Tech, and when we were at the former supplement companies, we were right into the whole, you know, fitness marketing thing. We figured, you know, you can just burn fat by taking, you know, metabolic accelerator things and all that kind of stuff, and then, you know, coming full circle and really understanding it, I'm like, wow, this isn't a good idea at all.
Yeah, didn't you say the other day that you're actually here comes a fear-based thing, but you were saying you're actually afraid to take supplements now based on what you know? or something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, to the point where I would never ingest a supplement if I didn't personally know the people behind the company.
That's kind of scary.
Like, I take fish oils, but they come from Brad. Like, right. Brad, like, well, not Brad, like, Brad doesn't own the company, but the company Brad consults with. Like, I trust the ingredients because Brad knows where they came from.
Right.
And then, like, for instance, the supplements that Adam makes, I trust those ones because I was heavily involved in helping develop them.
Right.
So I can at least trace all the way back to the source of where the stuff came from. And that doesn't mean other supplements don't have good sources. It just means I can't validate which ones are which. So right. I'll personally only ever stick to the ones that I know where the source even comes from.
Sure. And I guess it's because a lot of the stuff you've heard of in the past, I think, didn't we talk about the ephedrine one a couple podcasts ago about the one company having ephedrine in their supplement, and the women kept coming back to buy it and getting all the
results. Yeah, and ephedrine wasn't even on the label. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you just can't be sure. I mean, even I'm in the industry and I can't be sure. So, I mean, I can only be sure of the ones I know of.
Sure.
And I take so few, or I'm even interested in so few of them, that just the connections I have is more than enough for me to find, to be able to find supplements that I can validate.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So basically, I mean, I don't know where else to go with this one, to be quite honest with you.
I get what we're talking about is the difference between reading about something and doing something.
Sure.
Like, are you going to read about working out, or are you going to actually go work out? Are you going to read about dieting, or are you actually going to diet?
Well, I guess if we're going to use – yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I guess if we're going to use some fear-based marketing on people for your own good, I could basically say, I want you to think of a dead cat on the road being run over by
various cars,
an 18-wheeler. And this is where your life leads you if you keep continuing to consume fitness information and don't do anything. Your guts will look like this.
Well, people get – I mean, there's a condition now. Bratman, a physician – I can't remember his first name. I think it's Stephen Bratman. He coined the phrase orthorexia, and that's health food – people who are obsessed with health food to the point where they've actually died from trying to be too – like trying to follow every health recommendation they can find. So it starts with going vegetarian, then raw food vegetarian, then vegan, then – you know, and it just gets worse and worse, and then organic, and then it gets to the point where there's almost no food left that they think is healthy to eat, and some people have actually died trying to like purify their body. So, I guess you could say that's the most extreme example of getting too far into the information, into the marketing information surrounding the concept of health food, and losing sight of the bigger picture. So right. if it's adversely affecting your health, if it's actually you've taken action on some of this marketing BS that you're reading, and it's adversely affecting your health, think of how backwards that is. You're reading health and fitness information and you're getting less healthy.
Right.
And you're taking action on and the sorriest, saddest part of it is people are taking action on stuff that has no scientific validation. It's just made up BS. And that's the saddest part, like watching people follow a recommendation that is not grounded in science at all.
Right.
Like even if your eating choices are grounded in ideology, like let's say you're a vegetarian because you just personally don't like the way animals are treated. And, you know, like industrial slaughterhouses and stuff like that, if after I watch a movie like that, I kind of go vegetarian for a week or two because it actually is that disturbing. And that I actually don't even mind the ideological standpoint of vegetarianism versus the metabolic one. There's no argument you could make saying that humans are anything besides omnivores, meaning we're totally equipped to eat meat and veggie. Like we can do both. So if you come up with the argument of being vegetarian because you think meat's bad for us, well, you just don't know what you're talking about. If you personally feel better eating vegetarian and you believe in it, just, you know, you just don't, you don't like the taste of meat. You feel better not eating it. Ideologically, if your contribution to like the well-being of animals is to just not contribute to eating them, those are valid reasons. If you start spouting off about why it's better for your system, now you just don't know what you're talking about. So it's kind of like being clear with what you're even doing, but this health food stuff, this orthorexic nonsense it just gets to the point where, you know, you can't cook your food because it kills the enzymes and the life force is gone and all of this BS. It really causes people problems. Like they become scared of eating anything. Like everything is the bad food list consumes all foods at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then where are you? Then you're just living a life. Every day you wake up, you're just afraid. That's just stupid.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny because everything runs in cycles. Like one year milk is bad, and next year milk is good. One year eggs are bad, and next year eggs are good. Yeah, it's just always.
Well, if you go far enough back in the health and fitness sort of marketing, there was a time when protein was considered bad and the reason why people got fat. Sure. Like right now, people probably can't ever fathom that, but there was a time where like it was like eat as little protein as you can. Protein's like the enemy. So even though recently we can remember carbs being the enemy and fat being the enemy and never protein, protein at one point was also the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It was right around like at the end of the 1800s, right around 1900 was when that was sort of the thing to pick on, was eating too much protein.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep.
So it's cyclical in a way,
mm-hmm.
and it'll come back.
Yep.
Somebody will find something, and it'll be like, oh, well, too much protein leads to too much fat, which leads to too many calories, which leads to, you know, your kidneys falling out. And
yeah. And I mean, and all this cyclical stuff, none of it's rooted in science. It's all just marketing media stuff. Like if you actually dig through the science, you'll be like, oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with protein, nothing wrong with carbs, nothing wrong with fat. They're all just, you know, you can eat all three of them. You should eat all three of them. You know, sure. Humans have always eaten all three of them. It's sort of ridiculous to think that we didn't. So, yeah, it's just, I mean, I don't even think nutrition's a field of research that's even worth studying, or at least, I don't know, not the way it's being studied. I don't know. I haven't really resolved how I'm picturing it. Like I graduated from an undergrad of nutrition and I didn't have a clue. By the end of it, I bought into all that crap. And only working in a supplement in the industry and then going back into graduate school and then teaching it, did I start to figure out how much nonsense is being spewed towards people. And then how much of a gap there is between what we know scientifically and what people get told. Like the message just gets horribly distorted along the way.
Right. Yeah, and it's to the detriment of people's sanity and results. And I really say sanity because, you know, for a lot of time, I mean, with all these different things coming from different directions, you don't know which way to go.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I mean, if you get an email or something that says this is great, and then you get an email the next day, you know, from, you know, maybe the same person or a different person that says, oh, well, this is good too, but it's kind of different, and you're sitting there and you're like, well, shit.
Which one's the better one?
Yeah, which because nobody ever wants – this is the funny thing. Nobody ever wants to do like the okay one, so they'll hold out for what they think is the best one. Instead of go ahead and taking action on something and just saying, all right, well, this looks kind of good. I'm going to take action on this. They'll be like, oh, maybe there'll be something in the next week or so I'll find. Maybe I can find something today that'll be better. And so they're always holding out for better. What's the better way to do it? What's the better way to do it? Because we've kind of been, I think, to a certain degree, duped into working smarter, not harder type of a deal. And I think that's, I agree with it to a certain degree. But I think it's also people are thinking about that. I don't want to work hard. I want to work smart. Well, the big thing is you want to work smart and hard.
Well, or you want to work at all. Like a lot of people are waiting for that work smart and they're not currently working hard. They're just not doing anything.
Yeah, you work hard to work smart.
Yeah.
But you actually have
to be working on something. You can't just go from zero exercise to, well, I'm going to wait for the best workout program ever. Go for a walk. Just start. Yeah. And you can't wait to like know everything there is to know about nutrition before you start dieting. Just start eating less. Start there and then work from there.
Yeah, your insights never come from sitting around. It's like you don't sit around and all of a sudden get an insight. It's like you get insights from experiencing mm-hmm. certain things. So you start walking down a path and you start getting some insights of whether this is working for you, if this is agreeable to you, if you can handle this, if you can't handle this, if it works. Yeah. And this is throughout all courses of life. I mean, you start to realize that there are certain things that are just inherently bad for you to do. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Just means that it interferes with your life so much that it just isn't a workable solution. And you figure that out. That's great. That means you don't do that. Or maybe you figure out a way that you start doing something, you get an insight, and it makes things a little bit easier for you. Like for me, perfect example. I think last week, no, well not last week, 2 weeks ago,
I kind of figured out that if I got hungry, if I just took a tablespoon of peanut butter and just kind of ate it and drank some water, that was pretty good. That worked. I was like, all right, well, that kind of knocked the hunger out. Not a lot of calories. I mean, maybe 300 or so, or however many it is, but nothing.
300? How big of a tablespoon was that?
Oh, it was huge, dude.
But instead of having a whole meal.
Right, right. I wasn't like, I didn't have time, and I never have really have time to kind of sit down and eat during the day. That's why the way I eat it works for me, is because, you know, it, as far as from a fat loss, muscle building standpoint, I mean, it's the way it's constructed works because it fills in my schedule. But, you know, I figured it out. Like, all right, well, this whole peanut butter thing, that works for me. All right, there's an insight. So I'll just go buy a big old thing of peanut butter and keep it there. And if I get hungry and, you know, I don't have time to eat, I'll just eat some peanut butter and go about my day. And that's kind of what I've been doing, kind of off and on. Nothing big. It doesn't mean you should do it. It might help you, help me. But I'm not saying that that's, you know, the best thing to do. But it works for me. And so at this point in my life, that's the best thing for me to do because it's working. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's just, I wouldn't have got that insight unless, you know, I just tested something out and said, okay. But just by sitting around doing nothing, it wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you're doing that within the context of understanding you have to eat less calories.
Sure.
Right. It's not that you think there's any magical benefit to peanut butter. You just know that eating a scoop of that, well, you'll manage to eat less calories than if you tried to eat something else.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. It just makes the process suck less.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that? I mean, if we want to put it in context, we know it's going to suck. It's the difference between like unbearable torture and like bearable torture.
Yeah, basically.
You know, I mean,
it's not that bad, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And that's why the people who go through it can reap the benefit from it. And most people just won't go through it. And then that's all there is to say about it. And that's good because it makes kind of a bit of an exclusive thing there.
Yeah, it does. You know, I wrote about this last week. I was like, you know, that's the best part about it is you can believe what you want to believe and you can keep doing the things that you're doing. And ultimately that is fine with us. Because all that's going to do is that's just going to increase the divide between the haves and the have-nots of, you know, having a good body. And the more you sit around and surf and try to figure stuff out, the more you're not going to get any results, which sucks. I mean, we want to help you out. But in the same regard, by you not doing anything actually makes not us as, you know, an organization, but us as just kind of people look better. The worse you look, the better we look. Kind of sucks when I say it like that, but it's true. So basically, and that divide is getting bigger. So when people are talking about the divide between the rich and the poor getting bigger and the middle class disappearing, so to say, I mean, you hear about that sometimes. It's kind of happening like that in health and fitness as well, where you're seeing people getting fatter. So you don't really have a lot of people that are kind of in the middle anymore. People are getting fatter and fatter. So let's call that, I don't want to say, we can call that poor. And then the people that are, you know, basically in good shape, we can call that rich because the in shape, that's what people want. They want that. Just like money, people want money. So that's the goal that people want. So rich or being in shape. But all of this influence is being concentrated at the top. So maybe before it was like the top 10% of people were where it's at. But now as people keep falling off, and more people keep moving that way. It's like, now in shape people aren't the top 10% of people. They're the top 9% of people, top 8%, 7%, 6%. So it keeps becoming more and more of an exclusive group as we move along.
Yeah, and that's just because there's only a small percentage of people who bother to take the effort, the time and the effort and do it, and the rest of them just kind of read about it.
Yeah.
If they're concerned at all. Or consume stuff just for the sake of having an excuse to explain why they can't do it.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, well, let's wrap this up. Where are we going with this? I guess the point of all of it was that the effort in actually doing it is significantly more important than reading about it or educating yourself.
Yeah, the whole goal. I mean, we personally, you know, this is, like I say, this is why we're moving more into the customer forums and not, you know, doing as much free stuff anymore is because, you know, we don't have time to try to wax prolific and defend our point of view of what's better and what's worse to someone that's not going to do anything. And so that's the big deal right there, is that you have to, I mean, you have to, if you want results, you have to do something. And it doesn't have to be the best thing.
Just has to be something.
Yeah, you're not going to figure out there's no cookie cutter way that's actually best for you. You take a good framework and you put it to use, and then you find your own tweaks to it. It just happens based on your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be 100% right off the bat. So go ahead and get over that. Get over the 100%. Get over the perfection. You're going to iterate as you move along. That's why guys in contests, you know, they show up in certain shape one time, and then the next time they get better, and they call it dialing in.
Yeah, it's like buying a car, and then buying a base level car, and then you do tons of aftermarket modifications until you've got the hot rod that you want. And that's kind of what we're talking about. You just get the car, and then from there you can start working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whereas, exactly. You know, everyone's reading to try to read about how to find the Lamborghini, the one that comes right out of the showroom perfect. But there's no such thing. With your body, you actually have to, like, you got to get started on something and then modify it from there.
Yeah, you modify. You put on a supercharger first. You know, and then you put on some, it's like tweaking a car on a budget is essentially what you're doing. Yeah. As you get more money, which is equals more knowledge, as you get more knowledge of yourself and what you actually want out of the whole thing, then you tweak something, you add something. You know, or you take something away.
But you won't know that until you get going on your workout and get going on your diet.
Yeah, a lot of this, muscle building and fat loss, and across the board, is really addition by subtraction.
Yeah, and we'll get into that next week about the concept of you can't fix more with more. That we also covered that this week. So,
sure.
So yeah, I guess the point is action speaks louder than words, so getting stuff done is more important than reading about it.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, well, like I say, that's all we've got for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. And for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and this is your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.